Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible, 1 minute at a time. I'm Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Dave Pallas.
And I'm Sean German.
Welcome, gentlemen, to another day.
And another mission.
And a great minute. We're getting excited, guys. It's minute 68, isn't it?
Yes, 68.
Yeah, there's so much that we've been looking forward to, we've been talking about, and here it is.
As we like to call it, the one with the rat.
Yeah, we've inferred it into other minutes. We are so excited.
Yeah.
This minute begins with a rat in the air vent. The rat that we thought was in the last minute is now in the air vent.
That's not nice to call Jean-Renaud a rat.
And ends with Krieger choking back fear in the air vent and a quick shot of the knock list.
Yeah.
Jean-Renaud freaks out. It's a good title for this episode.
Jean-Renaud freaks out.
Before we get to him freaking out, let's go back to William Donlow. They show him second six. He's still in the bathroom cleaning his face off. In a previous minute, we talked about the fact that there are no mirrors. I'm going to postulate something. I think we're seeing into the mirror. I think that whole wall's a mirror, and it's just it's an illusion. That sink is a double sink. It's not really six sinks. It's only three, and we're seeing a reflection.
There's urinals.
Yeah, except there's urinals on one side, and then
no Dunlow on the other side.
I know, it's crazy. From one side, it looks like urinals, but from the other side,
where does the mirror stop?
It's a CIA mirror. Dunlow's a vampire.
Dunlow's a vampire. That's why we don't see his reflection.
No, Sean, I'm not taking your fanfic on this one.
And that rat is gonna it's a little chef. It's gonna cook for Krieger.
No. I get it. It's a sequel to Interview with the Vampire. Gotcha. Ethan is actually Lestat. Okay, that makes sense.
Bastards.
It all makes sense now.
So the knock list is the undercover vampire list.
That is right.
My
that's
God,
what
that's
it is.
That's such a better movie.
The rat smells another rat.
Don't rats like hang out with vampires? Isn't that something that happens?
So Ethan's got Lestat has the rat going over to Krieger to see if he's
hungry.
Well, wasn't Brad Pitt eating rats in Interview with
No, Lestat was eating rats.
Yeah, it was Tom Cruise.
Yeah, it's Tom Cruise.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah. So it's like his little buddy.
Yeah, exactly. He's one that he spared. He gave him a choice.
So is this rat coming to help Ethan? Because I thought it was one rat smells another rat. Spoilers for later. Like, that's how I thought.
Yeah, the rat is coming to help Ethan.
The rat is coming to help Ethan.
I'm coming. Oh boy.
Hey, I hear you can't balance real well. Let me come down and get on your legs, and you'll be able to balance perfectly.
Oh my God. People are probably paying for this podcast by now. So, like, what? Not give them the premium content. Well, look, there's two discs. He pulls out two discs.
Two discs? I'm sorry, what? That's PG. PG show, guys.
Discs.
Oh, discs. Discs. Sorry.
Discs.
The discs.
Dave, your New Jersey accent makes it hard to understand.
He's got two discs pulling out.
So, at second 20... Ethan pulls out two floppy disks. Yes. God, this is not going to sound dirty, ever.
No, it's always going to sound dirty.
Well, I don't think those disks are not very floppy.
No.
That's what they're called. You guys may be too young to know this, Sean. I'm sure.
They look like
20,
CDs,
23, 24, Sean.
Is this movie PG-13? Can I see this?
You can see it only for a second.
Jesus. Okay.
Well, they show they've got these really cool discs that are see through and clear, and they look much cooler than they are. They are 1.44 megabyte floppy discs. Nothing crazy. He's got two of them in his pocket that may come into play later.
All right, when are you gonna read the part from the novel? Read about the novel. Just do it. Let's cut the foreplay. Read the novel.
We have just gotten to the part about the novel.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, let's talk about the novel where his daughter works for the company and she's involved, and you know, Dave can take.
No, not that
Dave,
far.
You can't, Dave. You can't just tell me to read from the novel. The novel is organic.
The novel tells us when we're supposed to read from it. It's like the Necronomicon of the Mission Impossible books.
If I read it, then it will conjure something.
Tom Cruise will end up in his house floating from above like Peter Pan.
All right, Dave. We're going to now read from the book.
I am ready. I don't know if the audience is, but I am.
We're going to tell you from the book's point of view what Krieger is doing up in that vent.
There we go.
Krieger moved himself back in the shaft to gain more leverage, then began lowering Ethan steadily toward the floor. He stopped when Ethan was opposite the workstation. Obviously, this is happening a minute before, but there's literally two paragraphs about this entire 5 minutes. So I'm doing my best here, guys. He felt Krieger straining under the body weight and worried he was running out of time. So Ethan swung himself back and forth in ever-increasing arcs, gaining momentum.
Good.
So in this scene in the book...
Wait, what?
Ethan is swinging back and forth like a trapeze artist.
Like a heaving bosom.
Yes.
But that's going to make it harder for Krieger. That doesn't help more Krieger. Strain,
And then he does his little arrow acrobatic move, and then above, Krieger steadied himself in the duck. Ducked.
In the duck.
Sweating and biting his lower lip to keep from groaning out loud. This is written about a book about spies. This is...
I gotta pour myself a glass of wine. I'm gonna turn down the lights, light some candles.
Play some Lionel Richie music. It's all
awesome. I remember in the video game when you get to this part.
Oh my god, you in the video game.
Well, I was going to say.
Hey, you know, we're in a sensual moment right now and you're ruining it by talking about video games. No, it's okay.
We made it to Wednesday before I brought up the game.
You brought up the game earlier, didn't you?
Yeah, you did.
I always bring it up.
Like yesterday.
Yeah. Look.
All right, go on, Dave. You are a guest. So, tell us about the game.
The parts before this actual vault section are kind of they're not about infiltrating the CIA building. You're pretty much like climbing around the building, but you get to do when you get into the vault, you have to essentially swing back and forth though with the lasers. Like you have to actually like the laser. There's actually lasers in the top part of the room in the game, and essentially you have to like either go flat or pull yourself up. And you have to like kind of swing back and forth to get around the laser. So there's a little bit of that in the video game, at least.
How big is this duct?
Yeah, it's like you have to do it like one. I think you have to do it like three times. You have to go through three different layers of laser to get that. I said like I haven't played that part in a while. I remember playing the first few missions a lot, but this part of the game actually like I don't think is as fun as a lot of the earlier missions and a lot of the later missions. I remember that.
I'm going to read again from the book because this, remember, this is all happening in silence. So in the movie, we're just seeing him doing all this stuff. He comes down, he pulls out the discs, he's putting them in the computer. No big deal. It's all good. But in the book, it goes a little differently. In his right breast pocket was a blank 3.5-inch diskette, specially formatted by Luther. Okay, let's calm down. Specially formatted. For those of you that don't know, these discs didn't come formatted all the time. You had to pre-format them. Yeah. There's no special way to do it. You just stick it in a computer and say format disk, and it just makes the disk a PC disk, or it makes the disk a Mac disk.
This is specially formatted.
For a knock list that he didn't know he was actually picking up.
They say one diskette?
Okay. Not yet.
Yeah, you're
sorry, I'm getting so excited.
Yeah. Easy.
He slid it into the write-only slot on the machine.
Oh, baby.
And listened to the soft whirring sound that meant the diskette had been accepted.
Oh my God!
This book!
As quiet as the sound was, in the silence of the computer room, it roared in Ethan's brain like an avalanche. Ah, oh, man, this guy paints pictures with words, doesn't he?
Ugh.
More like nightmares.
It is. It's like he has made this so sexual, and it's just a disc, guys. No, in the book, it's only one disc, Dave. Good catch. So he doesn't have two.
Disc inflation. They got to add
at second 40. Discs. Is that our first shot of the decibel meter?
Yes. Since he's gone in, since he did his test, his toast test up at the top of the shaft. You know, whisper, yellow. toast. So he did that up at the top of the shaft. This is the first time we've seen it. So we're two bars into yellow. So the loudest this computer is, the sound that is sounds like Ethan's brain like an avalanche is this being the disc being accepted by the computer.
Yuck. I would think sound would be more of an issue than temperature. Just thinking of the contrast between, so we haven't seen the decibel meter for a few minutes, but they've been getting a lot of time to that temperature gauge.
Yeah, I think that's because once he actually went in there, he did heat up the room, you know, four-tenths of a degree. But the problem is the meter has way too much give. We talked about this earlier. If it's going to be on a hair trigger, it should be much lower amount of sound coming out, but it isn't. It's it actually gives you, you can actually talk in there, really.
Yeah.
You could talk at this level and it would be fine. Yeah. I do love it though. I love the sound meter. It's one of my favorite things in this. And then at this point,
we're back to our friend, the rat.
Yeah, the rat just walking gets it to yellow.
Now, when we talk about the fact that he's got two of these discs, we know that Ethan may not be... is Ethan on to Krieger at this point? We have the ability to know what's going to happen in the future. Does he not know?
I think he doesn't trust anybody.
Does he have a feeling so he brought two discs on purpose so that everyone doesn't know which disc has the knock list on it?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. And so I don't know when he changes it, but yeah, he, you know.
Well, yeah, because we happen to know future. We know that there are two discs and it does come into play later. I'm just wondering if he was on to Krieger at this point, because at this point he's also seen Krieger try to stab the guard with that knife.
Mm.
And he knows that knife from the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
When there's their IMF team is murdered. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering if in the movie, if we take ourselves out of the fact that, you know, the joke is we haven't seen this movie before and everything's happening for the first time. Does Ethan know at this point?
No, I don't think he does, because he doesn't do anything with connecting the knife until later.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a theory. My theory is that every action movie has a Batman.
Oh, gotcha.
And hear me out on this. It's the fact that every movie Batman can be summed up by the arsenal that's on Batman's utility belt. He's thought of everything and he's planned for everything. I'm wondering, is this the point when Ethan's being Batman is activated?
I'm Batman.
Because later in the movie, we find out he knew this stuff all along and he was on to Krieger and all these things start happening.
I think, all right, this part's tricky because didn't Claire recommend Krieger? Because then she said,
yep.
She says later to Ethan, I'm sorry I recommended him. So yes. So that's probably a point to his suspicion is that Claire fingered out Krieger and said, oh, we should pick him. And he was like, okay. And he probably was like, I'm going to write that down. And
and showed up alive.
Yeah. Yeah. So he probably has that in his suspicion.
That's like two strikes against her right there.
And it's probably and
she's Claire, so that's three.
And probably the third one is, Krieger's attitude with the knock list. He probably gives him the quote, fake knock list, and then later was going to be like, oh, can I have the knock list and see what Krieger's attitude would have been about it? And then Krieger starts doing this power play about, oh, I wanted this and that. And he's like,
I was trying to think if my idea holds any water of each action movie has a Batman. When are times when other action movies became Batman in their movies?
Anytime it's a Harrison Ford movie like The Fugitive or Patriot Games, he's like figured it out, and it's always back to flashbacks just like they do in this one.
I think Die Hard at some point.
Yep.
Die Hard. Die Hard. Well, Bruce Willis figures it out. Die Hard 1, Bruce Willis doesn't figure it out probably until...
The cigarettes.
God, I don't know. He almost doesn't figure it out till the very end, because he goes, that's what this all was about, is a robbery. So he doesn't know. He knows that Hans is planning something, but doesn't know the whole thing. Right.
It's when he finds the explosives up at the top.
Because in the Bill Clay part.
Yeah,
and Die Hard 2, it's pretty obvious. Yeah, there are a lot more hints.
He figures it out when he goes, I had that guy in my sights, and he opens a magazine, and he looks at it, and then the scene cuts to him back at the airport. So we never see what he sees,
right?
But he obviously sees a whole magazine full of blanks. And that's when he tends to shoot Carmine 100 times. when, Sean, when does John McClane figure out Die Hard with a Vengeance?
Wasn't there, the kid said something to him.
Yeah, all the police are
into something. You could rob City Hall.
Yeah.
Okay. So John McClane. So what we've figured out is John McClane is not Batman. He's never Batman. He's always behind.
He knows
every
man. He knows the family. Yeah. The only thing better about blowing out $300 billion with a goal is making people think you did.
Thank you, man. Exactly.
Yep.
Yep.
So for me, the only one I can think of is Dominic Toretto in the Fast and Furious movies has become
Batman in those movies.
He knows everything about every car, about things that shouldn't even matter. Like, he knows how to speak other languages. He knows how to broker peace in Cuba. It's
that's not the same Dominic Toretto that was in the first movie.
Yeah, that was kind of what some of the fuel. Now I've decided I'm gonna dub this the Batman / Everyman. theory. And you're either a Batman or an Everyman. John McClane is an Everyman, so he doesn't figure it out till later.
Right. So at what point does Phil Connors turn into Batman in Groundhog Day?
After he's gone through like 300 days?
Yeah. he's changing tires. He's catching kids that are falling out of trees. He's
trying to save old men.
He's playing
It's definitely that last, I don't know how long that last, the last cycle of Groundhog Day when we see him and he literally has everything perfect.
Yeah.
We don't know how many times he's been doing that.
Somebody figured it out. I know it was online. Somebody had figured out how many days he'd done it.
These are the guys to ask.
How many years he'd done it. You know, he'd been doing it for a long time.
At least three.
Yeah.
At least three years.
I think I put somebody put it out for almost a century because they put it with the expert, like the amount of expertise he put into like ice sculpting, piano lessons.
Oh, is this that 10,000 hours again?
Yeah.
If you mastered 53 things, it would take you this many hours, and that's 10 years or 100 years or whatever.
Right. And I've read a little bit on that, and I'm kind of skeptical because we don't know the extent of her expertise. You know, like for playing the piano, we see him play parts of two songs. So let's assume he knows two songs at least. That doesn't mean he's an expert pianist. That just means he knows those two songs.
Sure.
Now the ice sculpture, okay, that's pretty challenging. But again, all we know is he knows to make that one thing.
Yeah, he might have just learned how to make a swan or whatever he makes.
Which would take a long time.
But then he also makes her face too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So, I mean. Well, anyway, back to this minute.
Back to the rat.
Anyway, back to the clock that only has even numbers.
Yeah, 2 minutes of
gone. It's now 9:56.
Oh, man. So in the past 3 minutes, 6 minutes have gone by.
In the past minute. Not even a minute. We're 16 seconds from like the last time we saw
him. So he's been staring at that screen loading for two solid minutes then.
Yes.
Yeah. At second 46, the rat is finally walking right toward Jean Reno.
And he's walking really weird, that rat. I don't know what's up with it. It looks funny.
I think he's been trained.
Yeah.
He's been poked. And then at second 50, we see the knock list being downloaded to the knock file. So now we know Luther formatted that disc and also named it. Thanks, Luther. Otherwise, it would just be untitled.
I was surprised he didn't name it like Not Porn or something.
Well, here's the thing. How would he know to name it the knock file when he didn't know that that's what they were stealing?
Exactly.
Ha ha! We got you again, writers.
That's a good damn question. Unless Ethan named it at that terminal, but you're right. That's about it.
Well, maybe he already put the second disc in, so this might be Ethan's disc.
I really hope that that's exactly what happened. I hope he had to put it like the file came up and goes, "This file is unformatted. Would you like to format?" And you're like, "Oh my God, yes." And then you had to put it in
He's
a
like,
name.
Thank God.
And then you're just waiting while it formats. That's what the 2 minutes.
That's
2 minutes to format. At the end of this minute, Krieger kind of loses his stuff. And this is where, when we talked about earlier, he's allergic to rats, but he acts in this scene like he's scared of rats, which is fine. The choice is fine. I just wanted, if you're going to read background about it, it all to work out together.
Yeah.
I want it to be like, Krieger is deathly afraid of rats. I'm totally cool with that.
I
living in Chicago, we're kind of used to them. So
yeah, because then it puts him right up there with Henry Jones, you know?
Senior. I wish there could have been something that they could have worked out in the scene after this, back at the hotel room. I wish there was some way they could have worked that out, where they hit, you know, Ethan Hunt and him were arguing over something, and he mentioned the rat or something, like, you freaked out about that rat, and he's like, oh, I don't like rats, you know, something, you know, something.
I'm allergic to them. I mean, we saw him sneeze earlier. Is that our cue that there's a rat in
like
there?
No, it's like events full of dust, you know.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because Ethan's running in front of him on his little legs and like getting all that dust going up.
Yeah,
in the
like
air.
You're in a ventilation.
Well, you know, maybe it's like The Departed, where they have the rats that represent the rats in the police business, and then, you know, the rat here represents him because he's the rat.
Did you just say the police business?
Official police business. Well,
The Departed.
Yeah. You mean the place where policemen stay and their
business? Like the police business and, you know, that aspect. There are rats in the business store.
I think it's called police work. I don't think it's called police business.
Fine, okay, police work business. It's all the same.
No, it is definitely not.
Yeah, it is.
Halt, official police business. Oh, that kind of works actually.
That does. That's what they say.
There you go.
I need your car for police business.
And I just want to point out, in the duct, we see there are no nails or screws.
Yeah.
From where they have, you know, where they affix the ductwork in place that are sticking through. So it's all very smooth inside.
This thing is a death trap. You will, at some point, this will all come unhinged and you will come falling out of it, because these pieces are stuck together with, we don't know. It's not bolts.
And they're not as well lit either. This one's lit like a disco or something.
Yeah, it's very lit, and it's just funny how that rat causes so much thing. Yeah, like this room would be tripped daily if the amount of rats and AC, because I said they disabled the AC.
Also, that rat, if that rat was normally up there doing its normal rat thing, it would definitely walk by and trigger the laser grid that is over that grid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right now they have that laser grid taken care of, but there is normally a crisscrossing laser grid.
Well, and you never have, like, we only see the one rat. There's never only one rat. If you see one rat, there's 99 others you're not seeing. This place is full of them.
That's what Ratatouille taught us.
Yeah.
The place is lousy with rats.
It's lousy with them.
And that's where this minute ends, with Krieger being freaked out by the rat. So hopefully he pulls it together and nothing happens. I'm sure he'll be fine.
Be fine.
Yep. Yeah, I'm sure the rat's just there to help out.
I'm kind
of like, hey, Krieger, you want me to take part of this rope for you? I'll help you out, buddy.
Oh, okay.
That's Krieger. That's my French accent. It sounds a little bit like
Goofy.
Yeah,
a
little bit. Goofy.
This minute has no affiliation with the Walt Disney Company or its associates.
Not yet.
Not yet, at least.
Not yet.
But you're welcome to buy us if you want.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Okay, yeah, buy this crap. We can do some tech of the ep. There's definitely a few things in here, some esoteric things as well. This time I'm going to start with our guest. Sean, you'd like to go first?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been eyeing a particular piece of tech all through this minute, and actually through the past minutes, and it's kind of going on my wish list. I got a birthday coming up. And I want that trackball. That's a very nice trackball. Yeah. I like a nice big ball like that. It's you know, feels good in the hand.
One ball, two discs.
One ball, two discs. Yeah.
Yep.
That's the title for this minute. Yeah. So yeah, I'm going with the trackball.
Awesome.
How about you, Dave?
Oh, I see. You just take over. Just do it.
I think I want the decibel meter, because I want to know how loud rats sound when they walk. That's how loud they are. Okay. Is your rat making too much noise?
That's not, it's only got 8 like sections. It's not really that specific.
I just want to apply the scientific method to rat walks.
Well, especially that rat, because it walks funny.
Yeah, it does rock funny.
So it's got like one leg going weird.
Something wrong with that rat. There's
something definitely wrong with that rat.
But you, Chris?
I'm going to go with the specially formatted discs that Luther gave him.
Especially formatted.
Ethan, these are specially formatted.
Give them to Claire.
If the computer accepts them.
As long as it's not a Mac.
Yeah. Oh, you're up. You're up. Almost said that. You're up. Poop Creek. You're up. Rat Creek. If
it's a Mac.
If it's a Mac.
You know, here's a good question. Do you think Max gave him those discs?
No, I think he bought those with the money Max gave him.
Like, I was like, because maybe for security reasons, her people are like, we're not going to take another strange disc from you in case CIA is watching. So like. Here's a disc that we formatted that we could trust, and...
No, I think Max gave him $150,000 of seed money.
Hot seed money, got it.
So
hot seed money.
Hot seed money. Hot so, seed. Yeah.
Hot seed.
Is this going to become this podcast's 94? Hot seed. Hot seed. Anyway.
Give it to Claire.
Give it to... no, don't give Claire the hot seed. Anyway, my tech of the app. Now you guys have gotten me so off track, I don't even know where I am.
Tech of the app. Tech of the app.
My tech of the app is the mirror into the dimension.
Oh my god, the bathroom.
And the vampire.
The vampire Lestat connection.
Oh my gosh.
The vampire. I'm going to pick. It's the discs.
Yeah, totally.
They're so cool looking, and I had discs, and I had so many of these, and they were in my house, but I went and looked it up. You can't even buy clear ones anymore. Amazingly, you can still buy floppy drives, but you cannot buy this disc.
Now, can you think of other movies that where discs play a major role in the plot?
Boogie Nights. This one.
Boogie Nights.
Oh, discs.
Discs.
We can mention our movies.
I don't know what the rules are, but I'm thinking of Midnight Run at the end where they're handing off the discs to with Serrano to kind of set him up for evidence tampering.
That's one. A little lesser known movie. It's an indie film. It's called Rogue One.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie, there's a disc.
Oh yeah.
And that disc is handed to other people.
I'm hoping that they're going to make a sequel to that someday.
Yeah, Rogue Two is going to be awesome.
Yep. Yeah, Rogue Two.
I can't think of. It's hard because there's always a MacGuffin in a movie, and right now the MacGuffin is becoming this Nautilus. It's been this Nautilus actually the whole movie.
Yeah.
We got a fake one earlier with Kittredge because they were trying to find the mole, and now we have the real one. So. We've come full circle.
Mole.
And then the entire third act is going to be about this disc.
Oh, you know what else is one? But it's a cassette tape. It's New York. Escape from New York.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They use a cassette tape in Escape from New York and then a CD player in Escape from L.A.
Yep.
Yeah.
A little mini CD player.
Yeah, but it's a little mini disc. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Every movie. If every action movie has a Batman, every action movie also has a disc.
One of the other Mission Impossible movies has some disc. Oh yeah, the second one.
No, that's a virus.
Yeah,
whatever that is. Guess is a disc.
It is. It's a hard drive. Always a disc.
It's always a disc.
I think Sean's cracked it. I think every Mission Impossible is about a disc.
Yeah, because the biosite thing was all in a disc. He had to download stuff as well.
Yeah.
Kill. Yeah.
That's the one common theme running through all the movies is the disc.
Tom Cruise running and discs.
Oh, well, yeah, and Tom.
Well, we're going to come back again tomorrow for minute 69.
69, dudes.
What? We've already had enough sex talk in this minute.
I was talking about Bill and Ted. I don't know what you're talking about.
So we're coming back for minute 69 tomorrow, and Dave and Sean may join us. We don't know. they may quit. We'll see. Until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I'm Dave.
I've been Sean.
Yes.
So Dave Sean will be back tomorrow.
Deshaun, see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Deshaun. Or is it Shadon? Shadave.
This minute will self-destruct.